you sit in.
Why don't you just make a bit? Are you sure?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وعن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل فيدارسه القرآن وكان جبريل يلقاه كل ليلة فيدارسه القرآن. فلرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يلقاه جبريل أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. وخرجه الإمام أحمد بزيادة في آخره وهي لا يسأل عن شيء إلا أعطاه. لا يسأل عن شيء إلا أعطاه أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous of people. And he was most generous in the month of Ramadan. He already was the most generous from the people, yet his generosity knew no bounds when it was the month of Ramadan. When the angel Jibreel alayhi salam would meet him, فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ and would recite Qur'an. They would do يُدَارِسُ الْقُرْآنِ meaning they would recite Qur'an to each other. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam would meet him, would be more generous in terms of giving and granting goodness than a rihil mursala, than a rain cloud. The ulama translate as that when you have a rain cloud which is going or and is passing over anyone, then everybody benefits from that rain cloud. They benefit. So similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely generous in the month of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bab ke andar Hafiz ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi irshad farmaya, is hadith ko irshad farmaya, riwayat farmaya ke Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waise to bahut sakhi the, logo mein se sabse sakhi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the, lekin Ramzan ke mahine ke andar Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki sakhawat bahut matlab اس سے زیادہ تھی, عام دنوں سے زیادہ ہوتا تھا. حتیٰ کہ جیسے ایک بادل بارش, جس بادل سے بارش گرتا ہے, اس بادل سے زیادہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سخاوت ہوتی تھی. تو جو حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس آتا تھا اس کو کچھ نہ کچھ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے ضرور ملتا تھا. اور دوسری روایت میں ہے کہ لا يسأل عن شيء إلا أعطاه. Whenever he was asked of anything, he would give it. He was never asked of anything except that he would give it and grant it. So this hadith is very important that we understand. There's two qualities which have been mentioned, or two aspects of this hadith. The first is the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this month. So we learn from this hadith that a person should be generous, especially in the month of Ramadan. And secondly, this connection and bond with the Quran a person should have in the month of Ramadan. That we know that the first revelation was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to many ulama, in the month of Ramadan. And Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. So there's a special bond with the Quran and the holy month of Ramadan. And secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sakhawa and his generosity. So these two qualities a person should work on specifically in the month of Ramadan. Firstly, the generosity that we spend on everybody. And inshallah, I'm going to mention a few points from this kitab that we should spend on everybody. And similarly, we should develop our relationship with the Quran. The ulama of the past would spend, I'm going to mention some points from here, they would develop and build this relationship with the Quran in this month. Not just in terms of tilawa and recitation, but also in terms of faham and study and teaching of the Quran. MashaAllah, many great scholars throughout history have a set plan. Like in Pakistan, you had the great Allama Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullahi alayh, great scholar. Every Ramadan, he would have his Dawratul Quran, where people, or Dawratul Tafsir. People would go and they would study the entire Tafsir of the Quran with him. Recently in Pakistan, you had a scholar, he's passed away now, Mufti Zarwali Khan rahmatullahi alayh. Again, in Ramadan, people would go and they would go through the Tafsir of the entire Quran in this month. So they had this special relationship with the Quran in this month. So we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one point to take as well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally his quality was one of extreme generosity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very generous. In one hadith, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَوَّادٌ يُحِبُّ الْجُودِ كَرِيمٌ يُحِبُّ الْكَرَمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is sakhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khud sakhi. Allah ta'ala is the most generous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves generosity. And remember, this quality, generosity, is from the makarimul akhlaq. Is from the best of character that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to perfect. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, I have been sent to perfect the character of people, create this good character inside of people. And one of the qualities of good character is this generosity. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, giving an example of the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he mentions that whenever ما سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا فقال لا, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never asked about anything and he would refuse it, he would not give it. Meaning whenever Rasulullah was asked about anything sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always grant it. Hatta he mentions this incident, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has stated from Sahal ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked for this garment that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing. And Rasulullah did not have any other clothes except for that piece of item of clothing. So a man came, a sahabi, he came radiallahu anhu, and he asked for this piece of clothing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to him. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam par ek jora tha ya ek kapra tha. Kisi ne aake poocha, manga, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne de diya. Falamahu an-nasu, people started to blame him, criticize him. What are you doing? You know, Rasulullah is only wearing this one piece of clothing, and you've asked him for that, and he's given it to you. وَقَالُوا كَانَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا وَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَرُدُّ سَائِلًا. So people said to the man that you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed it, and you know that Rasulullah never turns away a person who is asking for something. Then how could you come and ask Rasulullah for this? What did the man reply? So, radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّمَا سَأَلْتُهَا لِتَكُونَ كَفَنِي فَكَانَتْ كَفَنُهُ. He said, the only reason I asked Rasulullah for this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is so that this piece of clothing becomes my kafan. This clothing that Rasulullah is wearing becomes my kafan. And indeed it happened so that when this person passed away, he was shrouded in this clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So hence we understand, and the ulama mention, now one of the reasons why a person should spend excessively in the month of Ramadan is because of the fact that rewards are multiplied. On a normal day, spending and being generous is extremely rewarding, but in the month of Ramadan, because of the nature of the month of Ramadan, the reward is multiplied. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ صَدَقَةٌ فِي رَمَضَانِ, that the best of sadaqah, best of charity that a person can give, is the charity a person gives in the month of Ramadan. And similarly, when a person spends in the month of Ramadan, we should try and feed the fasting people. This is very important. And it's a very important sunnah. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever man fattara fihi sa'iman kana lahu, that the person who feeds a fasting person in the month of Ramadan, he receives the reward of the fasting person, and the fasting person's reward is not decreased. So the fasting person, he receives their reward. The person who feeds them gets the same reward, and the fasting person also gets the entire reward. And then the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, we don't all have the ability to feed a fasting person. We don't always have the ability to feed other people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that just by giving a date to feed to a fasting person, or a sip of water to give to a fasting person, you receive the entire reward of their fast. SubhanAllah, look how easy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for us to gain this reward. So we should all try specifically in the month of Ramadan to be generous, feed people iftar, and specifically feeding people who are needy. This is better. Of course we can feed people iftar, we'll get the reward. But those who are needy, it's double the reward. Because the person who's already muhtaj is already in need. And on top of that, we gave some food which helped, contributed towards their breaking their fast. So that's the first point. The other points which can be mentioned there. And the second point I wanted to quickly talk about, Hafiz ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, about this connection that the Quran has with the month of Ramadan. He mentions that from this hadith we understand that in this month of Ramadan, a person should work and strive hard. on building a relationship with the Quran. Whether it's tilawa, whether it's studying the Quran, understanding the meanings of the Quran, attending the halaqat, the gatherings in which the Quran is being recited, or in which the Quran is being taught, the messages of the Quran are being taught. Just listening to the tilawa of the Quran carries great benefit. The ulama mentioned, you know, people who have to deal with this jinnat and jadu and all these kind of things, and those who help them and assist them, they'll always say, unfortunately in our homes we have lots and lots of negative energy. And one of the reasons for this is because we don't do tilawa of the Quran, and there's not much tilawa of the Quran going on. And that's why they always mention, keep some recitation of the Quran playing. Always have some tilawa, either you're reciting or let there be tilawa. Let this be the sound that the children are always listening to, tilawatul Quran. And remember, when it comes to recordings of Quran, the rules are not the same as live tilawa. When it is live tilawa, somebody is doing tilawa right now, and then when a sajda tilawa is recited, we have to do sajda. Similarly, you know that istima', like Allah Ta'ala mentions the Quran, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. When the Quran is being recited, then listen to it carefully. So when it's an old recording, the same ahkam and same rules don't apply. So a person can do other things. A person can do other things and have the tilawa, an old recording of tilawa playing. And that has great benefit as well. So we should have listen to the Quran, have the Quran playing, recite the Quran. All of this carries benefit. The same way that reciting the Quran is beneficial and it's a thawab and it's an act of reward which we are doing with our tongue. Similarly, looking at the Quran, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi in Ihya ulumuddin, he mentions that the greatest things that the eyes can look at is the Quran. There is nothing better for the eyes to see than the Quran. He mentions the Quran and he mentions nature as well, like greenery. And greenery has great benefit for the eyes, for the mind. He says the Quran as well. He says, so everybody, regardless of whether you know the Quran by heart or not, you should still have a time in the day where you open the Quran and you look at it, because it carries great benefit. Similarly, one of the greatest ibadah you can do with your ears is the istima' and listening to the Holy Quran being recited. So in this month of Ramadan, a person should increase in the tilawa, specifically at night times. And he mentions here some of the examples of the Salafus Salihun, how they used to recite so many Qur'ans on a daily basis. For example, he gives the example of Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. The Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi used to complete 60 completions of the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. 60 completions. And that reminds me of in Abbiti, Hazrat Shaykh Mullah Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar from India, the great muhaddith. He mentions in his abbiti, that is one of the days in his diary, that today, towards the end of Ramadan, that today, Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar from India, he came to me and he mentioned to me that Zubair, his son was Zubair al-Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi, that Zubair has completed 60 khatams of Quran this Ramadan. So it's very, very recent times. Mawlana Zubair al-Hasan rahmatullahi passed away about just a few years ago. So they're completing 60 khatams of Quran in the entire month of Ramadan. So where a person takes this seriously, from Darulun Bari, Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he started a beautiful project known as Laylatul Noor. So in Darulun Kidminster, they would all gather, all of the graduates of Darulun Bari, and in one night they do a khatam of Quran. And my father-in-law, I remember him mentioning to me that there was this one Mawlana, one scholar, he completed the khatam of the Quran four times in one Laylatul Noor. The entire khatam of Quran. So a person has the, where there's a will, there's a way. Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, every year he would send, until today, Mawlana Bilal Nahuda from Preston to go to Portugal. There's a Darulum in Portugal. Go to Portugal and in 3 days, he'd do a khatam of the Quran in Taraweeh. This year he went and he sent me the recording. 3 dinon ke andar pura Quran ki khatam, Taraweeh namaz ke, salah ke andar. So where there's a will, there's a way. Where a person has the love, has the bond, has the connection, it can still be done. So he mentions many other examples like this, that in the month of Ramadan, a person should specifically focus on the tilawat of Quran. And he mentions about Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, that Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was a great muhaddith of Medina. But when he came to Ramadan, he would run away from people. He wouldn't even teach hadith in the month, even though teaching hadith was his greatest passion, and he was so dear to him. In the month of Ramadan, he would leave everything else and he would devote his time to looking inside of the Mus'haf and reciting Quran. So a person should, there are many forms of ibadah a person should do. And remember, what happens is we should switch from ibadah to ibadah. This is important as well. The same way the scholars mentioned, switch from ilm to ilm. Because what happens is if you focus on, especially if a person is not on that level of piety, then you can become a bit tired from doing one form of ibadah. So we should have different forms of ibadah. Dhikr adhkar, durood sharif, sending durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Istighfar, especially these middle 10 days of Ramadan, the 10 days of maghfirah, should do a lot of istighfar. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And from the greatest of istighfar is Sayyidul Istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abdu wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika ma istata'tu a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu abu'u bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfir li innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. So we should learn this. Sayyidul Istighfar is the greatest form of istighfar. Learn it, understand the meaning, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this. Mawlana Qamru Zaman sahab, hafizahullah, from Allahabad in India, he mentions his sheikh would tell him every morning to read, I think it was 10 times or it could have been 50 times. Sayyidul Istighfar every morning 10 times and every evening 10 times. So there's a great fadila, great virtue, great benefit. Asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive us, Duru Sharif. And similarly, the third kalima, in many ahadith, in one hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, sending La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Subhanallah. All of these special forms of dhikr we should do as much as we can. So we have a set portion that we're going to recite this much tilawah of the Quran, especially last 10 days we should increase. And inshallah, when it comes to last 10 days, next week we'll talk about how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent his last 10 days. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep very little in the last 10 days. It would seem like he didn't even sleep at all. Meaning he would spend his entire time awake in the ibadah of Allah ta'ala, especially his night time. What happens in the morning is, throughout the day we find it, obviously we're fasting, so we're quite tired and exhausted, and at night time everybody starts relaxing. Because you eat, and when you start eating, and then you just feel it, you become this laziness comes over. But this night time is the most special time. Especially when it comes to the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَى مُقِيلًا. Nighttime is a special time wherein a person can benefit most from the tilawah of the Holy Quran. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability to practice one of these few words. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallahumma, alhamdulillah. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.